I have never been to Japan, but I will introduce a word to you from Japan, and that's furoshiki. Would you like to practice with me? Furoshiki. Very good. It is actually an art that started centuries and centuries ago due to the identification of people's clothes at shogun bathhouses. Now, over the centuries, they wanted to identify which luggage, which clothes were in this bathhouse, and they started to put the family crests on these items, and that developed into an art form called furoshiki. You do very well. And that has actually caught on now after centuries and centuries of development. The Japanese, when they give gifts, and I'm not referring to Christmas gifts because we know Christianity is a very small percentage of Japanese culture, but when they give gifts, they will not generally wrap them in paper. They will apply the Japanese art of furoshiki. And that is with cloth, they will ornamentally fold and design the cloth in such a way that these cloths can be used over and over again. In fact, to the point where this cultural experience has been complemented by no less than Yuriko Koike. I won't make you say that name again, but Yuriko Koike is a Japanese minister of the environment. And she says, you're concerned with the environment by doing this. And so compliments to, again, furoshiki. And so she says, it's a shame for something to go to waste without having to use it over and over again. And I'd like to present to you that also this scripture that was read to us regarding that this gift will be for the sake of all. It will give joy to all men. The sign is a joyful experience for all mankind. And the two signs were, he shall be wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Now, how could that be a joyful sign that would be blessing us even today? The experience of wrapping led a pastor who was just running on fumes. He was getting tired. He had been in the Tacoma congregation for 15 years. His name is Jeff Peabody. And he said, what am I going to present after 15 seasons of Christmas? What is new? How am I going to experience Jesus and the wonderful Christmas story in my life? And how can I share something new? And that's when he looked into furoshiki. And then as he looked at the experience of this passage, it came about because he was suffering. He was suffering a diagnosis that finally, after trying to get through a mind experience, he was diagnosed with OCD. Now, OCD is a very broad diagnosis. Some of you who are very much closer to this than I am. But he said it was a brain lock. He was consuming so much energy trying to get out of his brain that it was leading to a type of depression. And as he would describe it, he just couldn't get out of this brain lock. And as he was approaching Christmas, I wonder what he locked onto. The subject for today. Pharaoh Shiki. And he locked into the passage that was read to us, Luke chapter 2, 10 through 12, especially the sign. How would that be a sign of giving joy to all people? And so, as he was going through the anxiety and felt the bounding of one place in his world of his brain, fortunately, he says this in his words, in these own words, I felt boxed in mentally as if I was bound in one place and the world had closed in on me. I couldn't express myself fully and freely. The tensions and tightness I carried in my body reflected the constriction of my mind. I struggled with ongoing and at times immobilizing mental brain block. But he says, thankfully, I had a marvelous support system. It sounds like a wonderful church family. And this is the text he says that it was Luke chapter 2, verse 12. It just seemed like his brain was locked on this passage. As he was looking at the idea of clothes, cloth, being swaddled, he couldn't help but think of a passage in Luke. Well, I would recommend that we turn to Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 16. And in verse 4, we have a reference to a story of Israel being compared to, not by a man or not by a boy, but Israel being compared to as a girl. And in verse 4, we find a distinguishing characteristic of this young girl that is the metaphor for Israel. Notice what it says. As for your birth, on the day that you were born, your navel cord was not cut, nor was it washed with water for cleansing. You were not rubbed with salt, or even wrapped with cloths. So here's a description of Israel and its great, great need. It's been abandoned. This baby girl, abandoned baby, and we see that an abandoned child is not swathed. It doesn't have cloths on it. So that was a lead regarding this hint in Luke chapter 2, that this baby was in a manger, but it was not abandoned. There was no infanticide going on here. This child belonged to someone. So that is the imagery that we have, that Jesus was not abandoned, but he belonged very much to Mary. The idea of swaddling archaeologically goes back thousands of years. We have figurines that archaeologists have dug up, and we know that the way they're portrayed, that they have been swaddled. Cloths are wrapped around those babies. And I was contemplating, as you would too, in the movement of people, thinking of the Native American tribes, especially tribes that are on the move all the time because of food sources. For the sake of safety, they need to be wrapped and protected. Parents believe that wrapping a baby made their limbs much more straight. And there's probably not a mother here that remembers that when you wrapped your baby, there was some benefit. There was a calming effect. Anyone would like to acknowledge that there is something wonderful about snuggling under a blanket and being wrapped tightly? As I was sharing what I was going to speak with a Verley Ward yesterday on the tread machine, I was describing this, and she says, "Well, of course. Of course. You ought to go see the advertisements of weighted blankets out there." So even we as adults want to feel weight. I hadn't even heard of such a thing. Maybe you, those that go through the catalogs, this is a big thing now, weighted blankets. Blankets where you feel the pressure. So babies are blessed by being wrapped. However, about 200, 250 years ago, doctors started saying that they felt like swaddling was a detriment to children. And so there was probably for the first significant time in history that we know of, about 250 years ago, doctors said, "Let your child be open and free so they can move their limbs and legs." Judgment is still out as to what is better. I would think that probably there's room for both. If the baby is okay with being free and open and developing, and especially if they're ready to crawl, you certainly don't want to restrict them if they desire that. But they feel comforted in their anxiety by being swaddled. The condition of Jesus' advent is metaphorical. It's a small metaphor of his entire life. If you were going to ask the question or have somebody ask you the question, where does Paul talk about the Christmas story? Most clearly, where would you describe that passage? The Christmas story. The Word becoming flesh. Any suggestions? Open your Bible to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. And those of you who know that little letter say, "Oh, yes, that is right. That is Paul's incarnation statement. That's when Christ was made flesh." Philippians chapter 2. And most explicitly, verse 7. "But he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men." The Word became flesh, as John says, and this is Paul's version of John 1:14. "Having a human body was like being swaddled." As it contained the Almighty God. When Jesus grew up and went to face his greatest ordeal, we're given the detail that he was bound. He was bound and remained bound for one trial after another. In John chapter 18, verses 12 and 24, notice how explicit John highlights this in chapter 18. Chapter 18, verse 12 and 24. Notice, so the Roman cohort and the commander and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. Verse 24, they led Jesus, therefore, from Caiaphas into the praetorium, and it was early, and they themselves did not enter into the praetorium in order that they might not be defiled. In verse 24, Annas, therefore, sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. So at some point, like Jesus, each of us meets the limits of being human. It may be through an anxiety disorder like Jeff Peabody. Maybe it's the stifling of experience of a job that you know is not exercising all your gifts, and you're stuck in a job that restricts you and binds you. Or a broken family that you seem to be caught up in. Circumstances bind you or swaddle you or suffocate you in a system you cannot extract yourself from. Or what about past choices that you or others that you know of have restricted you? Those that have received a felony at young ages before they were even aware, and how restrictive the rest of their life is for job opportunities. You feel bound, stifled, choked. Or addictions that you feel powerless to control, bound to the addiction, like a huge mountain to be able to get beyond and to be finally free. The inescapable reality of sin and its fallout that has broken in on the world. Psalm 18. Psalm 18 describes this emotional binding, this swaddling of ourselves, even in David's experience. Notice, he describes the cords of the grave going around him. It's very, very descriptive. Psalm 18. The cords of death encompassed me, and the torrents of ungodliness terrified me. The cords of Sheol surrounded me, and the snares of death confronted me. And some scholars are saying, my, what a description for Jesus. As the sins of the world were placed upon him, David experienced this emotionally. The simple image of Jesus, God's gift to us, being wrapped in clothes or cloths, comforts me with the powerful truth that, yes, he understands the binding of sin. The shared experience, the concept of God with us, Emmanuel. Turning forward in the Psalms, Psalm 91. Psalm 91, we have a description also in verse 3 of this snare, this being caught, confined, this swaddled, like Jesus being confined. Notice verse 3. And it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper, the fowler's snare. A vivid picture of the incredible adversary being and how are we released? And in verse 4, the releasing of being caught in the fowler's snare is through Jesus going into the trap with us. Notice verse 4. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. So we have this picture of, yes, we are caught in the fowler's snare, but we also have one that is willing to become a bird. The imagery of Jesus becoming a bird and covering us in the trap with his feathers. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. This is the heart of the gospel. And it is right here in the manger. Even better, the manger is not the only time we find God in Furoshiki. At the end of his life, Jesus, our gift, was laid in the tomb, wrapped in cloths, swaddled, confined in the tomb, lovingly wrapped on our behalf. But the good news is that Jesus laid those cloths aside in his glorious resurrection. And so the manger scene, is his identification with all of us that reaches our limits in knowing that we have been bound. And it doesn't take long walking the hallways of Regency at the Park or Park Manor to know how ultimately we are all bound and restricted. I have a longtime friend that is at Park Manor, room 29. Her name is Linda. And I have visited her for years. I have not seen her ever in a wheelchair. I've never seen her move, but only her left arm. And that's her way. If she wants to give a hug metaphorically, she offers you her left hand. Fortunately, she can talk and communicate, and she can look at Blue Mountain Television and other outside input through the television. But if there's ever one that I visit regularly that feels bound and restricted, it's Linda. Or if you would visit Parkinson's patients at the VA and you see what sin has done to their bodies, their minds are very active, but they cannot express through their body what their mind is thinking. How frustrating. And Jesus took all of that restriction upon himself on our behalf. And what a blessing to know that that restriction came left at the resurrection. And so, as Jeff Peabody says I recognized that the manger passage that I was brain locked on has symbolism that is a joy for all people, that Jesus so fully identified with the bindness, the bonds of sin, and the restrictions, that the swaddling, the being wrapped, is encouraging to us, that he identifies so fully with us. The clothes will be set aside, and someday we will leave behind all that currently binds. A day when we can fully take in the greatness of the gift of God himself. That is an amazing portrayal, isn't it? That we will reign with him and find the freedom ultimately as he demonstrated in the resurrection. No longer veiled by furoshiki, no longer bound by furoshiki. Yes, the wrapping is attractive, isn't it? And yet, it is a binding, isn't it? Ultimately, we'll be released from the bounds that sin brings.